Amen. Well, please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn at this time to Psalm 19 is our scripture this morning, Psalm 19, verse 9. We're continuing in our series on the Bible called The Magnificent Word of God. And we're looking at various aspects of God's Word as found right here in Psalm 19. And so far, we've looked at the first three of these descriptions of God's Word. We've learned that God's Word is inspired, infallible, and authoritative. And so now we're going to move to the fourth aspect, which is everlasting. God's word is everlasting. So we're in Psalm 19 and verse 9. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look into your word now, and we look at this new characteristic of your word, I pray that you would speak to us, help us to understand, and just to continue to grow in our love and appreciation for all that you've done for us in giving us your written word to help and guide our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So far in our series, we've learned, first of all, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Inspired simply means that all Scripture comes from God, that what Scripture says, God says. Then in week two, we learned that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That simply means that the Bible is true in all that it affirms and that it contains no errors. Last week, we learned that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God. God's Word is not only true, but right. The Bible shows us not only what to believe, but how to live. These are all very important aspects of God's Word. But did you know it's possible that someone could believe all those things about God's Word, that it's inspired, infallible, authoritative, and yet they might still somehow feel that the Bible is not meant for us today? And you might ask, well, how could that be? You know, they would say things like this. They would say, well, that was then, and this is now. Or they would say things like, well, how could a book written thousands of years ago still be applicable today? They would say such things as, doesn't God's truth need to change with the culture? Doesn't it need to keep up with the times? And that's where today's aspect comes in. Because God's word is not only inspired, infallible, and authoritative, it is also everlasting. In other words, God's word was not just written for those people way back then, it is also written for you and me in the here and now. God's word is inspired, infallible, and authoritative, and all that's true about it in the past, right now in the present, also in the future. God's word is applicable to us today because it is everlasting. There are three things in particular we learn about the everlasting nature of God's word from our verse today. Number one, God's word is worthy of your deepest respect. We'll look at that. Number two, God's word is everlasting because it is pure. Number three, God's word is everlasting because it is sure. And we'll see what that means as well. There's an outline in your worship guide. I'd encourage you to take that out. It has all three of those points on it, and I have room to take some notes as well. So let's get started. First of all, God's word is worthy of your deepest respect. Psalm 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is pure." Now, this is a statement that takes place within a series of verses that all describe God's word. We've been looking at this, and David uses six different terms to describe God's word in this psalm: law, commandment, precepts, commands, fear, and ordinances. And you look at that and say, one of these things is not like the other. And you're right. That word fear seems a little out of place with the other terms at first. So those other five words, law, commandment, precepts, commands, ordinances, we see that all the time in the Bible. We know that that's talking about God's word. But this is the only time in the whole Bible that you will find the word fear used as a synonym or description for God's word. It's the only place. Now, usually we find this word applied to directly to God rather than to his word. It's a word that describes God, right? For example, we read in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The word fear usually has reference to God. To fear the Lord means to stand in awe of his majesty, to treat him with the deepest reverence and respect because of his power and his holiness. And the Bible says that attitude towards God, that is the beginning of wisdom. You cannot hope to grow wise until you first have a proper view of God. Do you want to have wisdom in life? Of course you do. We all want to be wise. We want to be wise, not foolish. It all begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with this deep reverence and respect for God. However, and here's the thing now, respect for God includes respect for God's word. Right? Think about it. You cannot ignore what somebody says and then say that you respect them as a person. Right? Part of the way you show respect for a person is by respecting what they say. You cannot separate someone's words from who they are. The two go together. And it's the same with God and his word. Respect for God includes respect for his word. And the Bible makes this connection between fearing the Lord and respecting God's word. We find this connection in other places as well. For example, Psalm 111 verse 10 says, begins the same way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then parallel to that, all who follow his precepts have good understanding. So here, respect for God includes what? Following his precepts. If we don't follow his precepts, then we don't really fear the Lord. We see this again in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, which says, fear God and keep his commandments. See, you can't do one without the other. The two belong together. Respect for God includes respect for God's word. So even though at first that word fear might seem out of place in this list, this is a very important part of the Psalm's description of God's word. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and respect for God includes respect for God's word. So that's the first thing we learn from our verse this morning. God's word is worthy of your deepest respect. Second thing we learn from our verse is this. God's word is everlasting because it is pure, right? Because our verse goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. So you can see here, right, in verse 9, the psalmist makes this connection between the purity of God's word and then also its everlasting nature. I want us to explore that a little further. First of all, understand this. God's word is completely holy and pure. The word that's translated pure here, it's a word that means clean or morally pure. In the Old Testament, in the context of Israel's worship, it could also mean ceremonially clean. But God's word is completely holy and pure because God himself is completely holy and pure. And there's nothing in his word that conflicts with his nature. And we find this clean aspect of God's word, this purity, this holiness of God's word affirmed repeatedly in the scriptures. Let me give you a couple examples. Psalm 12:6 says this, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Do you see that word flawless in that verse? That's the exact same word that's translated pure in Psalm 19:9. Same word in the original language, just translated different ways. Here we have the picture of silver at the refinery, a precious metal being refined by fire, purified by fire, not just once, not twice, not even three times, but seven times. What is seven? The perfect number, the symbol of completeness and perfection. And this refinery image shows up again. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them." Now, that word that's translated tested in that verse is the same word as refined in the verse we just looked at, Psalm 12:6. You put it all together. What is it saying? The words of the Lord are flawless. God's promises have been thoroughly tested and refined. There's a reason we call this the Holy Bible, right? Because God's word is completely holy and pure. But our verse, Psalm 19:9, not only says God's word is pure, right? It goes on and says enduring forever. And so here's the connection now between God's word being pure and its everlasting nature. It's really very simple. Only that which is pure lasts forever. Only that which is pure lasts forever. We see examples of this in the physical realm. That which is impure is subject to corruption and decay. An impure metal is subject to rust. You've heard the old saying, one rotten apple spoils the bunch, right? A diseased animal is susceptible to death. Only that which is pure lasts forever. And once again, there are other scriptures that make the same connection between holiness and enduring forever. For example, Psalm 93, verse 5, we read, "Your statutes stand firm." There's the everlasting nature. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. God's statutes stand firm. They endure forever. Why? Because God is holy, therefore his words are holy, and that which is holy endures forever. We read in 1 Peter in the New Testament, Peter writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." And so you were not redeemed with something perishable, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Holy One. He is the Lamb without any blemish or defect. In other words, it is because Christ is holy that his blood has saving power that endures forever. And because God's word is holy, therefore God's word lasts forever. Peter goes on to say, same chapter, 1 Peter 1, picking up in verse 23. He says, "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed." Here he's playing with perishable and imperishable again. "Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable." Well, what is that seed? He tells us, through the living and enduring word of God. He then quotes from Isaiah, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Because God's word is holy, God's word lasts forever. That's why Peter calls it the living and enduring word of God. The grass, the flowers, they wither and they fall. Why? Because they are subject to death and corruption, but not God's word. The word of the Lord stands forever. And why does it last forever? Because it is completely holy and pure. And only that which is pure lasts forever. That's the second thing we learned from just our one verse this morning, that God's word is everlasting because it is pure. God's word is worthy of your deepest respect. God's word is everlasting because it is pure. And then finally, number three, God's word is also everlasting because it is sure. Because it's sure. Look at the second half of our verse now, verse 9. "The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous." Now, the ordinances of the Lord, this is a word that refers particularly to God's legal requirements or God's verdicts. We're told that these ordinances of the Lord are sure. That's a great quality for us to hold on to in the Word of God when we are so often unsure about things in life. Right? We live in uncertain times. It's not often you find anything in life that you can call a sure thing. There's so many things in life that we count on that disappoint us or let us down. But once again, not God's Word. God's Word will never fail you in any way. God's Word is everlasting because it is sure. I want to explore this word sure a little further now. The word that is translated sure, first of all, it's a word that speaks of firmness and stability. Think of a good strong foundation laid in the ground or a large rock or boulder. Firmness and stability. And so that means that God's word, when we say it's sure, it's firmly established. This is a concept we find throughout the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Why is it everlasting? Because it's a firm foundation. It stands firm. Psalm 119, verse 152, "Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them." There's that firm foundation again. "You established them to last forever." In other words, when God speaks, he digs down deep. And his words are a solid foundation that cannot be moved. His laws carry divine authority that cannot be overturned. God's word is everlasting, first of all, because his word is firmly established. And secondly, God's word does not expire or change. This is the second part of the meaning. That word translated sure also carries this idea of reliability and truth. In other words, God's laws are not like our laws, right? Our laws are legislated and then re-legislated and then struck down, then put back in again and constantly changing. God's laws aren't like that. God's laws are not random. They're not arbitrary. God's laws derive from his very nature, which is itself unchanging. We see evidence of this in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 16:15 says, "God remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded for 1,000 generations." Just another phrase meaning forever. We see it in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 5, we read from these verses earlier, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets," speaking of the scriptures. He said, "I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." God's word spoke the universe into existence. As such, God's word predates the heavens and the earth, and his word will also outlast the heavens and the earth. God's word does not come with an expiration date. His word carries the same authority today that it carried 2,000 years ago. It will continue to carry that same authority for centuries to come. Once again, this is such an important quality to hold on to when we live in these times that are constantly changing. We live in a culture that is constantly shifting beneath our feet. God's word lasts forever. It's never outdated. It will never expire. It will never change. It's firmly established, does not expire or change. Then finally, we're told that all of God's word is righteous and lasts forever. This is the second half of our verse now. "The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous." That means that what is true of one part of God's word is true of all of it. Once again, we talked a little bit about this last week. We're under the authority of God's word. We don't get to pick and choose which parts to believe or obey. Because it's altogether righteous. All of God's word is righteous. All of it lasts forever. Once again, this is a truth we see affirmed throughout Scripture. Psalm 111 says, "The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy." Not some, not most. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. There's that righteousness, righteous altogether. Psalm 119, verse 160. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. And then we have the sure testimony of our Lord Jesus himself when he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's word is firmly established. It does not expire or change. And these things are true for all of God's word. For all of God's word. It is altogether righteous. No part of God's word will ever fade away. God's word is everlasting because it is sure. And so this verse, verse 9 from Psalm 19, this adds such an important dimension, doesn't it, to our understanding of God's word. God's word is not only inspired, infallible, and authoritative, it is also everlasting. It is called the fear of the Lord because it is worthy of your deepest reverence and respect. It is everlasting because it is both sure and pure. There's no corruption in the word of God that would cause it to suffer decay. It is firmly established. God will never have second thoughts about what he has said. His word is altogether righteous, and no part will ever pass away. So what does that mean for us today? God's word being everlasting means that this book is directly applicable to your life and mine right now. It's not some dusty history book sitting on a shelf. This is the living and active word of God, which is worthy of your most diligent study and investment. If you want something that will truly last, okay, something you can take with you from the cradle to the grave and beyond, something that will go the distance, you need to go with God's word. In the long run, only two things last forever, people and the word of God. And so that tells you where you should be putting your priorities. Is that what you're putting first in your life? If you want to build a life of lasting value, make sure you build it on the solid foundation of God's everlasting word. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for your word. It comes from you. It's inspired. It's completely trustworthy and true. It's infallible. It's authoritative. You tell us the right way to live and give us guidance for our lives. And it's everlasting, Lord. It is just as true today as it was when it first was written. It will always be true. It's your word, God. It reflects you and your character. You are the everlasting God, and this is your everlasting word. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.